Welcome to the Be CyberFit podcast, where we're simplifying cybersecurity for everyone, where we cut through confusing cyberspeak and make cybersecurity simple and easy to digest. I'm one of your hosts, Wendy Battles.
And I'm James Tusserone. Together, we're part of Yale University's Information Security Policy and Awareness Team. Our department works behind the scenes to support Yale's mission of teaching, learning, and scholarly research.
Ready to get cyber fit with us? Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Be Cyber Fit podcast. This is the place to come for engaging information and a little inspiration to stay safe online. What we love is that this podcast is really easy to share to your friends, family, or colleagues who would be interested in learning simple, non-techie things that they can do to be cyber safe. If so, please forward this along so we can get cyber fit together. Hey, James, how you doing today?
Hey, Wendy. I'm doing great. How about you?
I am doing well, and I'm, believe it or not, thinking about putting my holiday hat on because we're not that far from the holidays. And I want to ask you a simple question. Do you do any online shopping during the holiday season?
So I definitely do my fair share of online shopping, although luckily I don't have that much to do during the holidays.
Well, that already sounds good because it sounds, one, a lot less stressful. So good for
definitely.
You. I like that. What's great about our episode today is that we are looking ahead to things like Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And as I've been seeing already, there are sales online. Retailers are doing these sales really early, even before Black Friday, so you can get all these deals. So we are going to be talking today about online shopping scams during the holidays. But to be honest, James, what we're talking about today applies all year long. Basic principles to help avoid online scams. And we can't wait to share with you some really simple things you can do. We've got three calls to action at the end of the episode that can help boost your secure online shopping acumen.
Have you seen the one about Jon Snow apologizing for Game of Thrones Season 8? It sounds like the lead-in of a bad joke, but that video is actually one of the most well-known examples of a deepfake. Intriguing and perhaps even astounding, deepfakes are increasingly common and easy to create. Stay tuned to learn more about the insidious counterfeits called deepfakes. All right, so I'm going to get us started this week, Wendy, and my story comes from across the pond. So published by dailymail.com, it goes something like this. We have a teaching assistant from Northamptonshire who was doing some online holiday shopping for her daughter. She was shopping for Pandora products in this case, and she did a Google search for Pandora sale. She selected a result that she believed was from the official Pandora website, and she continued on with her shopping. She found a few items she was interested in, put them in her shopping cart, and proceeded to purchase them. She used her debit card, spent around $60 or $70, nothing outrageous, but here's where things started to go downhill. The email receipt that she received went to her junk folder, and when she opened the email, she saw a couple of other red flags. The email address was not from Pandora, nor was the payee details of the transaction. Instead, it was a random name, and the amount that was charged was actually $5 or $6 more due to a foreign exchange rate. So, of course, she panicked, became suspicious, she tried to contact her bank, and unfortunately, the bank told her that because she had approved the purchase, it was unlikely that they would be able to help her to get her money back. Right? So as it turned out, it obviously was a scam website, and it looked almost identical to the real one. And what really caught me was that it offered a full shopping experience, right? It wasn't like she went to a single product, got pulled in by that, made a purchase. She was able to peruse an entire website to find the items that she was looking for her daughter. But what's really sad here is that The victim said that the purchases were intended as Christmas gifts for her daughter and that she used her debit card because she was using all the money that she had been putting aside to cover her Christmas expenses. Can you imagine, Wendy?
James, sadly, I can. It's a really sad story. And I certainly have had that horrible sinking feeling when you realize something's gone terribly wrong. You get that pit in your stomach and right. you just know, oh, shoot. It's the holidays. Money is tight for so many of us. So I also can feel that disappointment she must have experienced when she was trying to get something for her daughter that she really wanted and couldn't. So that alone would be upsetting.
Right.
Both the disappointment factor for her daughter and, you know, she can't get what she wanted to get, and also having been scammed. So it's now double disappointment. So it's understandable how yeah. that could happen. I also know that feeling of elation when you feel like you found a great deal.
Right.
Because many times that's happened to me and it was legitimate. So you feel so good. You're like, oh, I can't believe I got this great deal. I'm able to get this thing at a discount. So that part feels really good. So I can see the juxtaposition of these two feelings, of that feeling when you order it and you're like, yes, she's going to love it. And then that dreaded feeling when you find out something's wrong.
Right. The high and the low.
The high and the low, right, of being online. So absolutely, I totally can connect with what she might have experienced. And I also know that, you know, you go to sites, you could think they're legitimate. I once went to a site that I thought was Kate Spade, you know, famous Kate Spade, katespade.com. There is an almost exact lookalike site that looks so much like Kate Spade. And then you find out it's not.
Right.
There's so many ways that we can kind of get into trouble. I will also tell you this, that a few years ago, my husband wanted to get me something for my birthday. It's around the holidays. But instead of just buying it, he said, sometimes I pick out things and she doesn't actually like them. So I'm going to have her pick out something. I go to the site and the things look super cute. I was like, I saw all these things. I was like, oh, this is my kind of site. But something about it didn't seem right. Even how some of the descriptions were written, it just didn't seem like quite the full professional experience that I was expecting. And somebody told me, go look in the return policy. And when I looked in the return policy, it was this very convoluted, you know, we might give you your money back after like 28 days. But, you know, it just didn't sound like what you would expect from a major retailer where they make it easy for you to return things. And it should not be this, you know, this huge task.
Right.
So those were some tip-offs for me and have helped me learn a lot to be more careful and mindful. And, you know, he was so grateful that he didn't just go ahead and purchase something because those are things he wouldn't have been looking for.
Right.
That same, you know, detail.
Well, luckily he asked you for your opinion that year and saved himself from falling victim to a scam himself.
Yeah.
But I think you made a great point there, Wendy, right? When we're using unfamiliar or new websites, it's a great idea to check it out, right? Don't just look at the page that you're directed to, but dig a little deeper. You know, look at the contact information, look at the return information. Make sure that their site is fully filled out and that there's content where you expect to see content.
Yeah, absolutely. There are definitely things we can do before we just go and purchase something.
Right.
To look around, check things out, as you said. You know, be that skeptical shopper.
Absolutely.
And then feel like we're making an informed decision. So I really like that idea a lot.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about my story. It's a short one. It's about another mom during the holidays who wanted to buy a present for her child. In this case, her son gave her a link to a pair of sneakers that he wanted. You know, James, when your kids are little, it's great because shopping's easy. They're just so happy to get the gifts. They're not asking for things in particular. But of course, all kids grow up and get to that age where they want very specific things. And he had his eye on these old school Air Jordan sneakers. Now, from this link, the sneakers were about $80, which is an incredibly good deal because you know how outrageous sneakers are.
Absolutely.
The prices are so inflated, and these particular sneakers could go for as much as $600.
Right.
So $80, doesn't that seem like a bargain?
Yeah, sort of. definitely sounds like a bargain. My first thought would be like, well, have they been worn already?
Right. There's all kinds of questions, honestly, about that price when you think about sneakers, what a hot commodity they are, especially if they're like old school, so they might have more value.
Right.
Which makes you think, maybe I should step back and think about this for a second. But
step back, no pun intended.
Right? Exactly. She went ahead and she bought them on Black Friday via PayPal. It all seemed good. She's crossing things off her list. And then all of a sudden she looks up and she realized, I never got the sneakers. You know, we get busy. We kind of forget. Sometimes you're ordering a bunch of stuff. You can't keep it straight. Well, when she realized that, she logged into PayPal to email the seller. And guess what she found out?
I have a hunch, Wendy, but why don't you tell us?
You can probably tell us nothing good.
Right.
She found out that the seller had blocked her. Like, no more contact. That's it. Just like you would block someone via text or scam emails. That is a very bad sign, needless to say.
For sure. Got the money and then disappeared.
Yep. Got the money and ran. Well, PayPal was not helpful at all. They washed their hands of the situation, said there wasn't anything that they could do. And it goes back to a lesson learned that you mentioned earlier, is that we should really be using a credit card instead of PayPal or a cash app, you know, or a cash app like Zelle or Venmo. Because credit cards, as we all know, offer a measure of buyer protection. And that's what we really want when we're buying things online. James, what are some other tips our listeners could use to stay safe online this holiday shopping season?
Well, I think the big one for me, as you already mentioned, is using a credit card, right? The credit cards, they are going to be more likely to provide us with those fraud protections. And the other big one, which you also alluded to earlier, is knowing where you're shopping, knowing the website, using a trusted retailer, not just, you know, going with an unfamiliar website or an unfamiliar individual. You know, I can make a comparison to, you know, if you are in a big city and you see the vendors, you know, with their products laid out on a blanket on the street corner, you know, I think you're going to have less faith in those products and in those sellers than you are the big box store that, you know, takes up an entire city block.
And James, those are all great points.
Here's the buzz on the imitations known as deepfakes. Let's start with talking about what deepfakes are. The term comes from the idea of using deep machine learning or artificial intelligence to produce some sort of fake content. Most commonly, we see deepfake images or videos of celebrities and well-known public figures. Deepfake tools learn from existing images and can then create doppelgangers whose actions they control. It's even possible to create entirely fabricated people. Now, this might not sound all that groundbreaking. In fact, shallow fakes, or forgeries that don't use machine learning, have been around for years. Many of us have probably even tried using common tools to enhance or alter our own photos. But the use of machine learning allows for creating forgeries that are virtually indistinguishable as counterfeit. And as the processing power of computers continues to grow, deepfakes are evolving to include forged audio, all kinds of forged content, and even entire identities. Here's a few suggestions to help identify and avoid falling for deepfakes. Always be skeptical about unfamiliar individuals or content you encounter online. Try taking the CNN quiz linked in the show notes to see if you can spot the fake. And find out even more about deepfakes by listening to the next episode of the Be CyberFit podcast. We interview former cybercrime reporter Carrie Tomlinson, who shares some of her encounters with deepfakes and her top tips to spot them.
So we have three simple calls to action for you today about how you can stay safe online during the upcoming holiday shopping season, but honestly, at any time during the year when you're buying things online. First, we want you to look at the return policy when you go to an unfamiliar online site. Forget the big box stores like Target or anything else, but when you go to something you are not familiar with, go to the bottom, look at the fine print, see what it says, see if it seems like it's reasonable. That's a great tip off. Number two, if it feels unfamiliar or something about it doesn't seem right, go to Trustpilot, where you can read reviews about websites that will help you determine the legitimacy of it. I have used this many times. It is a great way to get more information about an unfamiliar website. And finally, the Better Business Bureau has a scam tracker. They've updated it for the holidays with information. So you can go there, you can check out information about the site. You can also report things that don't seem legitimate. So three simple things that you can do to be proactive, to help you stay safe online, and to ensure that you have the best possible shopping experience where you get to keep your money from real sites and truly enjoy the holidays.
Those are great tips, Wendy, and hopefully they will help all of us to stay a little more safe this holiday season. So those are all the tips that we have for you today. Until next time, I'm here with Wendy Battles as always, and I'm James Tusserone. We'd like to thank everyone who helps make this podcast possible. And we'd like to also thank Yale University, where it's produced and recorded.
Thank you all for listening. We truly appreciate that. And remember, it only takes simple steps to be cyber fit.